Would like to invite you this morning to turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 15. 2 Chronicles chapter 15. And let's think about changing direction for God. You know, in the book of 2 Chronicles, we read all about the problems that afflicted the nation of Israel and the nation of Judah. And we see that in the divided kingdom, that there were good kings and there were bad kings. Now, for the northern kingdom, the nation of Israel, there were no good kings. There were only bad kings. But in the southern kingdom, occasionally there would be a good king, but most of the time there were bad kings. And the bad kings always led Israel off to idolatrous worship, or Judah, to idolatrous worship. But the good kings would seek to bring the people back to God, and he would get rid of the idols in the land, and he would then turn the people's hearts to God and encourage them to seek after him and to live their lives for him on a daily basis. And we see one of the good kings here in this particular chapter, a king by the name of Asa. And his father was a wicked king and who had introduced and perpetuated idolatry in Israel. But now Asa is seeking to be a good king. And we note that in this chapter, verse 1, it says, "Now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went out to meet Asa and said to him, 'Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you.' For a long time Israel had been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. But when in their trouble they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found by them. And in those times there was no peace to the one who went out, nor to the one who came in, but great turmoil was on all the inhabitants of the lands. So nation was destroyed by nation and city by city, for God troubled them with every adversity. But you be strong, and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." So what Azariah does here is he reminds Asa that God desires to be with his people. But that depends upon whether or not that we desire to be with God. And when we don't desire to be with God, and when we create problems as a result of not desiring to be with God and to follow his character, then there is no peace. Verse 5. "But if we will be strong, and we will not let our hands be weak, and we will do God's will within our life, then those actions will be rewarded by God." And so Israel had been away from God for many years. But nevertheless, God sent his servant Azariah to prophesy to Asa for him to turn to God. Asa was challenged to change direction for God. And it takes courage to do that. It takes honesty. It takes a willingness to know what is right and to do what is right within our life. And if we will do that, then the Lord will reward us for doing that. Now, we need to turn to God within our life and seek him to do his will. Just like Asa was challenged to turn to God, so we are challenged to turn to God. And in our application of this challenge, as we have talked about a few weeks ago and as we will continue to talk about throughout this year, we are challenged to go out and to take the gospel message to those who are around us in this community. It's not enough for us to simply give to missionaries so that they can go into foreign lands and preach and teach the gospel there. That's good that we do that. And I'm glad that we do that work. I think it's a wonderful work. But it's not enough. You see, we must be about the business of talking to others about the gospel. We've got to be about the business of going out into our own community here. And just as God has called those missionaries to go out to that community they go to and preach the gospel, He's called us to preach the gospel right here in New Boston, Texas. And so it falls upon our shoulders to do the work of evangelizing this community. And there are those who have never been children of God who need to be evangelized. And there are those who are children of God who have fallen away, who need to be brought back, as we talked about a couple of weeks ago. You who are spiritual, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1 says, restore such a ones in the spirit of meekness. And of course, in Mark chapter 16 and verses 15 and 16, Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. And so, go into all the world includes our part of the world, which is New Boston, Texas. And we need to be taking that gospel message to those who are around us. And this is what we're talking about when we're talking about changing direction for God. When we change direction for God, it means that we're saying, it's no longer my will, but thine be done. And that takes some effort on our part and some recognition of what we're doing within our life so that we can understand how we can take that gospel to those who are around us. Now, we've got to change direction for God because, as the text says here, God is with those who are with Him. Now look at verse 2 again of 2 Chronicles 15. And he went out to meet Asa and said to him, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. Look at what he says. The Lord is with you while you are with Him. Now we need to be with the Lord and the Lord will be with us. But if we're not with the Lord, then the Lord's not going to be with us. Now that's just what the text says here. If you seek Him, He will be found by you. But if you forsake Him, notice what it says, if you forsake Him, He will forsake you. And so we don't want the Lord to forsake us. We want the Lord to be with us. And so what does that mean? It means we need to be with the Lord. And so we must seek the Lord in our own individual lives. We can't seek the Lord in a communal way, that is, well, as long as I'm part of this group of people, then I'm seeking the Lord, and then I can do whatever I want to do in my own personal life. No, that's not right. That's not correct. We've got to be part of God's community, yes, but we've also got to live in every day for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've got to have Him living in our life as we go out into the world. Are we with God in this matter? You see, God wants us to go preach the gospel to the lost. He wants us to go out into the community and tell others about Jesus. Are we with Him in that regard? And what is standing in our way of being with God? Well, James identifies some of those attitudes that stand in the way of our being with God in James chapter 4. And let's turn over to James chapter 4 for just a moment so that we can see what James has to say. James chapter 4 and verses 4 through 10. Look at what he says. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the Scripture says in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but He gives us more grace? Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. The Spirit that dwells in us is jealous for us. The Spirit that dwells in us wants us to pursue the things of God. The Spirit that dwells in us is urging us to pursue the things of God. You see, but we allow the things of the world to distract us and to get in our way so that we don't do God's will in our life. And that's why God calls us adulterers and adulteresses, because we allow our friendship with the world to distract us from doing what God wants us to do. Now, we can't afford to do that if we're going to evangelize this community. We can't afford to let the world distract us and turn us away from people who are lost and dying. We can't let the world distract us and turn us away from people who need to be brought back to the Lord. And so we've got to get worldly thinking out of our heads, and we've got to get spiritual thinking into our heads. Notice what James says. Therefore, submit to God. That's what we've got to do. We've got to submit to God. What do we do? Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Does that sound familiar? That's what was Azariah exhorted Asa to do. If you are with God, then God will be with you. So we need to draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinner. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Double-mindedness, that's the idea that, well, I can pursue worldly things on the one hand, and then I can pursue spiritual things on the other hand. I can do both. No, you can't. That's double-mindedness. And that's the deception that we tell ourselves. Lament instead. What do we need to do? Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Now, this humility here isn't talking about humbling ourselves before each other. This humility here is talking about humbling ourselves before God and doing his will within our lives, in spite of the fact that others around us are not doing God's will. That's what humility is in this passage. And that's what we need to practice, humbling ourselves before God, because he is the one to whom we must humble ourselves and bow ourselves. If we don't do that, then we're going to have little hope of evangelizing this community. We're going to have little hope of bringing those who are wayward back to Christ. And so let's change direction for God. Let's get rid of the worldliness within our life, and let's strive to be pleasing unto God. Let's do what the prophet Azariah said: be with God so that God will be with us. Now look at the next thing that he says here in 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 4. Verse 3 and 4. It says, for a long time Israel had been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. But when in their trouble, I want you to note that, in their trouble, they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found by them. In their trouble. You know, a lot of times we don't turn to God unless we have trouble within our life. Now, we should be turning to God all the time. We should be with God all the time. But a lot of people will only turn to God when they have trouble within their lives. But that's okay. God wants them to do that. Now, notice what the text says here. In their trouble, they turned to God, and they sought him, and he was found by them. Now, that's all right. God uses trouble to turn people to him. And that's what he wants to do. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to turn to him. And if that means bringing a little trouble into our life, well then guess what? That's okay. God doesn't mind doing that, because the result is that we will turn to him. And that's what we need to do. Times of trouble for people are opportunities for us to do what is right. They're opportunities to turn to the Lord. And times of trouble are great opportunities for the faithful to reach out to those who are having trouble in their lives and bring in the spiritual solutions that God wants them to have. Pain helps people to change direction. away from sinful attitudes and actions and toward godly behavior. You know, a great author of last century, C.S. Lewis, who was an apologist for Christianity, he had these words to say. He says, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It is His megaphone to rouse a deaf world. Pain is God's megaphone to rouse a deaf world. Now that's true. That's what the Bible teaches. It teaches us that in times of trouble, people turn to God. And we need to understand that, and we need to use that as God uses that for evangelizing those who are around us. People need God when they are hurting. And a lot of times it's when they're hurting that they realize that they need God and that they need to turn to God. And we've got to be courageous enough to broach the subject when they are hurting. We've got to be courageous enough to go and talk to people when they're at their most vulnerable and their lowest. And sometimes that means we've got to broach subjects that are difficult to discuss. But God wants us to do it so that people will turn back to Him. You know, visiting is good. Visiting is great. I do a lot of visiting people. And sometimes people, I go and visit and enjoy a wonderful visit and things are well. And sometimes when I go and visit people, things are not so well. And you know, it's those times when things are not so well that we have the deepest, most spiritual conversations that we've ever had. And those are the times that God wants us to use for Him. Now, we don't need to be visiting people if all we're going to do is catch up on the latest gossip. Or if all we're going to do is talk about the news. Or if all we're going to do is talk about the weather or sports or something like that. That's pleasant. Don't get me wrong. I enjoy doing that sometimes. But we ought not to leave spiritual matters out of our visit. We need to talk about the spiritual needs of other people. We need to talk about our own spiritual needs. We need to talk about what God is doing for us within our life and what God has done for others within their life and how God has blessed us in so many ways. We cannot leave these things unsaid. We have got to be about the business of talking about the things that God wants us to talk about. And visiting with someone without talking about spiritual matters isn't enough. It's not going to get the job done. We've got to do more than just visit. We've got to talk about spiritual things. Now look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25 and verses 31 through 46. Matthew chapter 25 verses 31 through 46. A passage that really defines who God's people are. Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. We won't read all of that, but we'll read some of it. But let's look at what Jesus said. This is the separation of the sheep and the goats in the final judgment, right? And so the Son of Man comes, He gathers all nation, He separates one as the shepherds divide the sheep from the goats. And then the sheep He sets on the right hand, but the goats on the left hand. And then He says to the sheep, you come, inherit the kingdom. Why? For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty. You gave me drink. I was a stranger. You took me in. And then I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and in prison and you visited me. And then the righteous said, well, Lord, when did we do this to you? And He said, as much as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. But notice what these activities were. It was helping those who were hungry and the thirsty and giving them drink and taking in the stranger and clothing the naked and visiting those who were in prison and those who were sick. These are spiritual activities. These are times when people are at their lowest, right? When they're hungry, when they're naked, when they're sick, when they're in prison. that's when Christ wants us to go out and engage with others and talk about spiritual matters. That's getting His work done. And so that's those who are going to be in the kingdom with Him. And we need to remember what God said in Psalm chapter 82 and verses 3 and 4. Defend the poor and the fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and the needy. Deliver the poor and the needy. Free them from the hand of the wicked. When we are in trouble, that's when God can help us the most. And that's when we need to be thinking about spiritual matters, when there is trouble. And notice that's exactly what Azariah, who's prophesying for God, says in verse 4. But when in their trouble, they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought Him, He was found by them. Yes, we need to change direction for God, and that means that we need to visit those who are in trouble. And then finally, notice in verse 7 that if we go out and we do the work that God wants us to do, that He will reward us. But you, and this is to Asa, he says, but you, be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. Be strong, do not let your hands be weak. We must be strong for the Lord. And what does it mean to be strong for the Lord? It means to do the Lord's will within our lives. It means to, in terms of what God has told us to do in the New Testament, in the context of this sermon, to go out and tell other people about Jesus. That's what it's all about. We've got to tell others about who Jesus is, what He has done, and how they can take advantage of God's offer, because that's what God wants. He wants people. That's what God wants more than anything. He wants people to come into His kingdom so that they can be gathered to Him in eternal glory one day. He doesn't want us to be distracted by the things of this world. He doesn't want us to be distracted by the petty concerns of this life. He doesn't want us to care more about things than He wants us to care about people. God wants us to go out and to get and be with people. That's the most important thing. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What does He mean by that? Talk to other people. Get involved in their lives. Love them like God has loved you and has gotten involved with your life. That's what we've got to do. That's what we've got to practice. And if we will do that, then we will be strong for the Lord. But notice what he says, be strong for the Lord and do not let your hands be weak. The constant temptation of letting our hands be weak is always there. Because our hands are weak when we seek self and self-pleasure. Our hands are weak when we seek self-entertainment and personal titillation of delightful things, you know. Our hands are weak when we're just looking for our own prosperity and our own benefit without thinking about others. That's what it means to let our hands be weak. And the exhortation is, be strong for the Lord and do not let your hands be weak. We have a spiritual problem of self-medicating on all of the things that are around us that make us feel good so that we don't have to do what the Lord told us to do. Now we've got to stop doing that. That is weakness, and we've got to put it away for us. There are no excuses, and God is not going to accept any excuses from us for why we didn't do the work that He told us to do. Nobody has excuses. And I want to tell you a story about a man that I knew back in Berryville, Arkansas. And he was at one time an elder in the church, and then He developed some physical ailments, and he developed a condition called COPD. He was an old timber man, and he sawed timber for a lot of his life. And so he breathed in a lot of dust and things like that. And as a result of that, he contracted the condition of COPD. And he had just about everywhere he went, he had to take an oxygen bottle with him. And as I was getting started with the work there in Berryville, Arkansas, one day I was going up to the nursing home. And I saw him walking up to the nursing home. He'd take 5 steps, and then he'd stop, and then he'd breathe. Like this. And then he'd take another 5 steps, and then he'd stop, and then he'd breathe. And he'd take another 5 steps, and then he would stop, and he would breathe. And I got up to the door, and I said, Brother so-and-so, what are you doing here at the nursing home? And he said, I'm going to visit my friend in the nursing home. He's not a Christian, and I've got to tell him about Jesus and the gospel. Now, if that man can get out and talk to other people about Jesus, there's not an excuse for any one of us to get out and talk to other people about Jesus. We have no excuses. Now, he was trying to do the will of God within his life. And as weak as he was physically, he was a spiritual giant because he did not allow his physical problems to hold him back from doing the Lord's will. Are we strong or are we weak? If we're not strong, then we need to change direction for God. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. And whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. 1 John 5 and verse 4. Now Jesus Christ is sitting on the right hand of the throne of God, and he is reigning there as king, and he has given us our marching orders. Are we going to carry those orders out within our life? Are we going to evangelize this community? Are we going to bring the wayward back to Christ? It is up to us. It is in our hands. But we have this encouragement that if you seek Him, He will be found. And the Lord is with you while you are with Him. So be strong and do not let your hands be weak, for you shall be rewarded. Do you need to give your life to Jesus today? To hear His message and believe it, to repent of your sins, to be baptized for the remission of sins, and identify with Him, why not make that choice this morning? Be strong for the Lord in your life. Do you need the prayers of the church to overcome the weaknesses that have brought you down? Do you need encouragement and prayer so that you can go forward to do the Lord's will? Why not make a change this morning? Change direction for God, just as Asa was exhorted to change direction for God as well. And do so while we stand and while we sing.